This is Speaking of Faith, First Person. This online exclusive is part of Repossessing Virtue, an ongoing series in which we search for fresh ways to think and talk about the current economic crisis. I'm Robin Gilley Myers, associate producer of Speaking of Faith. Here, I speak with Greg Epstein, the humanist chaplain of Harvard University.
The first way to look at this issue is we really have to take moral stock, and that to me means, on this issue specifically, acknowledging what we humanists consider a profound value, which is acknowledging that we need human solutions, not divine ones. We can't afford to think that there's any way to solve this problem than by human work, human effort, human action, cooperation, compassion, and really looking ourselves in the mirror and thinking, what is the dignified thing to do? Because at the end of the day, for a humanist, and I hope for anyone, the one thing that we really have at the end of the day, even if they take our money away from us, even if they take our jobs away from us, even if they take some of our treasured institutions away from us, we have our conscience. We have that which we go to bed at night with and wake up with and walk around every minute of every day with, which is our still small voice that says either I'm living well and morally and righteously or I'm not. And that has nothing to do with God to me. That is about a moral reckoning and an ethical reckoning that each of us have to do at many different points in life, and we certainly have to do it now.
And do you think that the economic crisis is partly a moral crisis of our culture?
Well, I think that we've been changing our culture so rapidly in the past few generations. You know, in the past century, we haven't just given our culture an organ transplant. We've given it a full body transplant. We have, you know, had revolutions in science, technology, the humanities, the social sciences. We have a world now that people live in that is just dramatically different than anything people lived in or believed 100 or 200 years ago. And we've made mistakes along the way. You know, now there are the fans of this idea, however, that there was some golden age in the past that we have to get back to. But the crisis in our culture is not like that, because there was never one perfect culture. If you go back and you find a time where, you know, maybe people looked each other in the eye more on the streets and smiled. Yeah, but they also had slavery, and they also had sexism, and women didn't vote, and gays couldn't marry, and, you know, that sort of thing. People didn't have civil rights. So there was no perfect time in the past. This is certainly not a perfect time. But what we have to realize going forward is that we can do better, and we must do better.
And so, what moral and spiritual resources or virtues do you bring to approaching how we can do better?
Right. Well, I think that in the humanist community, we're looking at this from a few different angles, and I see some tremendous enthusiasm flowing now to this idea of real, meaningful humanist community, because more and more some of these crises, you know, really are, just as people will turn in a religious crisis to faith, it also shatters a lot of people's faith because people realize, wait a second, this is not just, this is not good, I don't see justice in what's going on here, and therefore some people will think, I can't believe in a God that would do this. And what we're trying to say is that we're actually now gathering more of these people together and saying, well, okay, fine, we don't believe in a God, I don't. But I do believe that we need to focus on the positive and on what we can positively do to affect our own lives and each other's lives for the better. And so, you know, for example, in our humanist community at Harvard, a few years ago, you know, it was more acceptable, I think, to, you know, to have, and again, this is my community, when atheists and agnostics and humanists and that sort of thing would gather, you know, we might hear a lecture on, you know, the evils of creationism and intelligent design and the, you know, the need for education about evolution in the schools and what have you, and we still believe that that's a very important issue. But, you know, that's what we would do. We'd get together for an hour, and then we'd go home to our sort of private, very individualized secular lives. And I think that what we're seeing now is no. Just like any other community, my community, which happens to represent, for example, one in every five young people in America, is non-religious. About a billion people around the world are non-religious. And we, too, just like anybody else, need to come together and celebrate positive values together. So now we get together and we do community service together when we meet. Or we, you know, we have brunch and talk about really, you know, important issues in our personal and professional lives, how to live better lives, you know, asking each other questions that really matter. We, you know, we get together at the pub and do the same thing on a, you know, so we have one of those kinds of meetings every single week. You know, we work on supporting important social and, you know, and community causes together. In a very concrete way, we get our fingernails dirty together.
And what have some of those experiences been like? What insights have you been getting into what people are going through those conversations? And
well, I mean, I would say, for example, you know, we have a student here who's a member of my community. Name is Sebastian Velez at Harvard, who is a student of evolutionary biology, and he researches beetles. And so in order to do that, he has to go to some of the poorest places in the hemisphere. He goes to the border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic to find his beetles. And when he got there to start doing research, he realized that just a little ways away from him, children were dying because their mothers did not have enough money to get to a hospital, that children were suffering and dying because you know, their mothers couldn't afford a simple drug, you know, that would cost us $10, or a simple test during their pregnancy that would cost us $10. And so Sebastian, as a humanist, realized that either these people had no help, or they were getting help only from extremely conservative, you know, organizations, religious organizations that were proselytizing to them. So he created an organization based on humanist values and started working to create, you know, this is, again, during his PhD research, he was working to create a home where women can get treatment before giving birth so that they can save lives, you know, that would be lost on the way to a hospital far away. And, you know, we in our community are working very hard to support the cause. You know, we're trying to do fundraisers for him and you know, get down there ourselves and work on projects like this that when you are in a financial crisis and you really are worried about, well, you know, am I going to be able to afford to live in a place as large as what I'm living in now, or am I going to have to simplify that? When you're living in a financial crisis and you're worried, am I going to be able to have the job that I want next year, or will I have to, you know, do something else for money, or will I be in a worry about money next year? You look for ways to give your life meaning and purpose that that are sustainable, and helping other people is one of the number one ways. And just being there for the people in your life, you know, building strong relationships and friendships. And again, that's why even as a congregation or a community of atheists, agnostics, humanists, and the non-religious, we now meet every single week to do something really significant together. And I think that we're planning on doing that from now on. And that's been a big change. You don't usually see that in communities of humanists and atheists and the non-religious, but I think you're going to see it more and more. And I'm getting contacted all the time now by atheists and humanists around the United States and beyond who say that they're looking for advice and help about how to start this kind of community and not just be anti-religious anymore, but really be humanistic at this time.
What kind of wisdom and leadership are you looking for at this time close to your life, and where are you finding it?
Well, I mean, I think that what I'm looking for at this point is other people who are trying, as I'm trying, to not just complain about the ills and the evils in this world, but to do something positive about them, and also just to live a life of dignity, to live a life of purpose and of love and care and compassion. And you know, I mean, I found inspiration for that kind of idea in something like Martin Luther King's Christmas Sermon on Peace from 1967, you know, where he really talked about loving his enemies, not as a thing that you do out of you know, out of folding and crumpling and giving yourself away to other people, but out of a genuine love that means caring and compassion. Not that you have to really like and want to be great friends with people that hate you, but that you have to care about them.
And how does that message provide wisdom for you in this specific?
I guess I've been thinking about that. It doesn't seem directly to relate to the financial crisis, but I think that it does, because when something goes wrong in our lives, we first look for somebody to blame. We get angry. We say, who's the horrible person that caused this? I don't know about these bailouts, and I think we have to tread very carefully with that, but I just think that if you lose your job or you can't live in the exact kind of home at this point in your life that you want to live in or do some of the things you want to do, it's just really, really tempting to look for the enemy and look for who to blame. And to me, I just want to make the point that that's not the humanist message primarily of what to do, that it's all right to be angry and it's all right to be very, very frustrated, but focusing on black and white, who is my enemy and who caused this, and not looking to some sort of personal responsibility and personal ability to care for other people and be among other people, is not the way. We really have to build our human connections. That's something that a financial crisis cannot take away from us.
You've been listening to Greg Epstein, the humanist chaplain of Harvard University. This is Repossessing Virtue, speaking of faith's continuing exploration of the economic crisis. For more, subscribe to the SOF podcast.